Let's rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Hallelujah. We want to turn the service over to Brother Cantrell. He's going to bring a presentation or whatever he feels led to do. We are glad that he is with us. Their presence here and their demeanor already this morning shows that Brother and Sister Cantrell are children of God and ministers of grace and authority. You can sense it just by being around them for a few minutes. So we want to greet Brother Cantrell and let God have his way.
Praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 14, you don't need to get your Bibles, it's fine. I'm not going to preach it. About a comment about 2 p.m. when we really get started here. Mark chapter 14, there was a meeting going on with Jesus and his disciples. And this woman slipped in and felt a need to worship God. And she brought with her a box of alabaster oil. And when she saw Jesus, she could not restrain herself. But she went to him and she broke that alabaster box and began to anoint his body. And as I was with you in the presence of God this morning and watching these ladies and men worship God so extravagantly, I thought an extravagant relationship with God requires an extravagant breaking of the anointing oils. And I feel the presence of God here today because of your breaking of the alabaster box. There is only one person in this room today that is worthy of all praise and glory and adoration. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! So to this great church in Madison, Wisconsin today, I say thank you. Thank you for breaking your alabaster box this morning. You may be seated. There is a glorious aroma in this body of believers. Some would call it a stench. Some would call it a smell. But I call it a glorious aroma. Because when I stepped into this place today, I could smell the scent of the fields. When a church works in the field of labor, of harvest, in the kingdom of God, when they come back for corporate worship, there is a smell of the fields. I can feel the handprints of this church all over this city, serving in the fields of God's kingdom. So call it a stench, call it a smell. But I believe that God thinks that that smell is glorious. Because this church has taken on the Spirit of Christ in reaching, in redeeming, and in discipling Madison, Wisconsin. Can you give yourselves a hand? My wife and I greet you all the way from the capital city of Ouagadougou. Amen. Burkina Faso, West Africa. Burkina Faso is a country in the sub-Saharan continent of West Africa. We don't have winters like your winters. Our winter, the low is about 80. Your summers, the high is about 85. Our summers, the high is about 125 degrees. Our ice cream has no ice. Burkina Faso is 50% radical Muslim, 40% voodoo or fetish worship, and less than 10% Christian. But like I tell our pastors, we are 100% Jesus Christ. We also serve in the country of Niger. Niger has 16 million people, 99% radical Islam. In fact, we can't even drive to Niamey, to the capital city anymore. We have to take a plane, jump over the heads of Al-Qaeda, preach the word of God, baptize Muslims in Jesus' name, get back on that plane, jump back over the heads of Al-Qaeda, and they don't even know what hit them. They ask me, they say, Ken Cantrell, why would you want to go to Burkina Faso? My response is, why would I not want to go to Burkina Faso? Aren't you afraid of being killed? Absolutely not. Because when you look through the eyes of faith, when you look through the eyes of Jesus Christ, when you're moving in the vein of compassion and love, you don't see a hardcore Islamic man. But through the eyes of faith, I see a blood-bought, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, saint of God. Hallelujah. Perfect love hath no fear. And when you're moving in the vein of love, there is no fear. How are you going to reach Madison, Wisconsin? You're going to pour your love out on this community. You're not going to see drug addicts. You're not going to see prostitutes. You're not going to see color. You're not going to see race. But you're going to look through the eyes of faith and not see an addiction, but see a blood-bought, apostolic, singing in the choir, saint of God. Listen, there is an unsaved church outside of these four walls. But there is an unseen church outside of these four walls. And if you can see through the eyes of grace, we are worshiping in the greatest, the biggest, the most awesome church in Madison, Wisconsin this morning. Because they're out there, but they're waiting for you. And I'm so glad that I'm in a church today that I can smell the fields. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite my beautiful best friend to come and greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And
thank you. Thank you. God's so good. He's so good. I'm a little overwhelmed this morning with the presence of God and your guys' encounter with the Spirit of God and how you've just let Him come in and minister to all of us so freely. Thank you for that. Thank you for the invitation to come. We are so thankful. The Browns have just been absolutely wonderful. Such a blessing just to be a part of this church family, even if it's just for the weekend. We are so thankful. I want to take a moment before I go any further, first of all, to thank She's for Christ, the youth department of this church. It does not go unnoticed what the young people do. I am a product of driving a She's for Christ car. To this day, I'm very, very thankful. Thank you. Where would the United Pentecostal Church be without the youth department? Really, they have just done so much for our movement. Oh, we're so thankful. Also, I want to take a moment to thank Mother's Memorial. Without a doubt, I am very, very thankful for our appliances, especially my freezer. Produces ice cubes. But seriously, what has really, where Mother's Memorial in our country has really benefited, we actually had planned on starting a Bible school our second term. First term, in our minds, we had planned to go over, just learn the language, French speaking, learn the culture, get to familiar with our churches that had already been established. We had five pastors, five churches, very small number in membership, but we had something to work with. So we thought that we would take our first term just to develop and grow what was already there. But as time went on, we were there just about a year. My husband had been in prayer, a lot of prayer, over the need of developing leaders. And he came to me very carefully and said, you know, I really think that we need to start a Bible school. And I'm like, yeah, I know, we're going to our second term, and you know, we're talking it out. And he's very carefully saying, but I really think we need to start it now. And I'm like, we can't speak French yet. How are we going to do this? You've got to be kidding me, really? And so he's like, yes, the Spirit of God is prompting me, and I just feel like God is going to walk with us and help us endeavor because it's a need. He did it. God did it. God did it. So with my very limited French, our first class of 10 men, one woman, by the way, which is very, very special in our country because women are marginalized. They really, children and women don't count in our country. That's changing, by the way. That is changing. But for the moment when we landed, we really saw the women especially were very pressed and did not know their place. But we are actually, the vice president of the work, his wife, was able to participate in our first class to go through. So class is going on and God is helping me in just, I am just amazed at what is coming out of my mouth. And time is going on, and I am teaching on the Azusa Street experience and the revival in Azusa Street. And our pastors, the students were so engrossed in what they were reading, and I was trying in my very limited French to express what it really was like from my understanding. And they were getting so excited and so caught up with this whole experience. They're saying, missionaire, madame, we want to have this here in Burkina. We want it right now. And so I said, well, let's take a moment. We can have that here. Let's pray. So we stopped class and we prayed. We went on with the class and class was just about over. And I look out the window of the church where we're having this, and there is a fully covered Muslim woman entering into the courtyard very carefully, very timid. And she heard what was going on in the class, and I watched her just make her way up into where the doorway was, and I went out to greet her. And the pastor came over as well because they knew that I couldn't really communicate real well at that point. And she said, there is something that, when I walk by, keeps telling me to come in. This is right 20 minutes after we had prayed. So the pastor talks with her and asks if it's okay that we have prayer for her, that the students, if she would enter into the church, that the students will pray for her. And she agreed. So she walks in, and she just bows her head. Doesn't close her eyes, nothing. She just is standing. And we all just circled around her. We didn't lay hands on her. We just very quietly prayed. But you could feel the presence of God so strong. She started crying. The tears started coming. So I knew she was feeling something she had never felt. We finished the prayer. It wasn't long. We were very careful, very sensitive to the situation. She left, and the pastor went out into the courtyard and continued talking with her. I went on with class. Of course, all of us are very excited, and we're trying to hold our composure, you know, because we knew that she was still there. So class finished. I thought she had left. I'm going outside after I'm done, and my husband's taken over his hour. And that Muslim woman was laid out sound asleep, right next to the door of the church on a mat, just sound asleep. I looked at Pastor Israel. I said, what is this? Is she okay? Is she sick? What? And he says, oh no, Sister Cantrell, this is what happens. They will come into our courtyard and they will ask for prayer and they feel the peace of God so strong that God gives them a holy rest. A holy rest. Yes. Yes. It is amazing. It was so amazing. And I cannot even tell you what that did to our students. Oh, did it build the faith? It is so, you know, wherever God's word is being taught and being and trying to be ministering, and we're trying to lead and develop the Burkina base to be pastors and great men of God. When we are doing that part, God's presence is doing his part. Yes, we are so thankful. And that is why we so badly need the Bible school. We are developing. We have stepped into a place of faith and believing God to do a great thing. We actually have the Bible school property bought and paid for, and a wall is built around it. So now we are trying, and we're here raising funds to build the Bible school. We know that that is how we are going to build the indigenous church in Burkina Faso. We believe in a self-propagating, self-governing, and self-sufficient church. We are there to train the Burkinabes up to lead and train and teach and pastor their own people. That's what we're there for. And this here is the Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center. We're doing it in honor of Wendell Gleason. He was a former professor at ABI. Pastor Gleason is our pastor for the last 25 years before we stepped into missions. So we're doing this as a memorial unto his father. But the DVD is going to explain a little more about what the Bible school is about, so I won't go into full detail about that. But one of the great needs, and something I want you to hear from my own words, in our country, we are considered the third poorest, according to the United Nations, the third poorest in all the world. We have so many opportunities for compassion ministry, and this is what we do. We use compassion to step into the villages and places of need, and we find favor, long story, but we find favor for the most part with the chief. The chief, in turn, will give us chickens, goats, whatever, as a gift back. The Burkinabe are not a needy people. They're not people that are gimme, gimme. They will always gift you back with something. They want to bless you. And so sometimes we leave with land. And that's what we're most excited about. When the chief will give us land, they know we're going to be coming back and putting a church on that land. And it's happened four different times. Yes, four different times. But we have to be able to train the pastor, train the men to be able to do this. Again, the Bible school, why it's so needed. This picture up here is when we took out grain. These are some Muslim women. They were all married to one man. He actually had just come up at this moment, their husband, and asked if he could buy me a burqa. He wanted to buy. I was like, no, black is not my color. But you see the laughter and the joy. That's what they see. When we go into their villages, we just show God's love. We just exemplify Jesus to them, and they open up their spirit because they're curious. What is it that makes you so happy? The Muslim people are so oppressed and locked up. But when we can just bring Jesus' love to them, that's what ends up happening. It's so exciting. Now, these portraits here are some different pictures that my husband actually took. This is one of the Muslim women, a teenager. You can see just the solemn look on her face. This is what we come up against. But then after we're with them a little bit of time, that is how we end up, what you see up there. This little man here, we don't know his name. We actually were driving to his village, and they saw there was a lot of children already there. A lot of the kids were working in the fields with their families, cultivating. This little guy, I saw him myself. He had a little tiny hoe in his hand because it's very normal. All the kids work out in the fields with their families. And he was working with his mama. And when he saw our car come, I saw his little hoe. It went way up in the air, and he came running as fast as he could. And there's already some children. The drums were already going. So the children had already kind of conjugated in the building that we were using. And he saw, he ran as fast as he could. I was going to the door and he was coming from another direction. And he stopped at the doorway and he looks around. He sees all these kids already there in the front. And he looks around, he turns and gives me a great big old smile. And he makes his way right in the middle, moves the kids over and plops himself down right there. And that is how he sat the entire service. The entire service. Yes. It was just a beautiful thing. And what really captured me, I remember at this service with our children's ministry, was really the time that I got it. I got it. These children really had never, ever heard about Jesus. Ever. All they know about is Allah. When they hear God, they think Allah. So when we are talking about Jesus as Lord, it is the first time these precious babies are really hearing it and understanding it. So that is why that picture is so special. Now this little guy, his name is Saidu. Now, he's got a story in itself, and I may let my husband tell his story. But let me tell you, remember I said children are marginalized? They just don't count? Sadly, with the lack of understanding and biblical culture that our pastors had received and living without a missionary for almost 10 years, they, in their minds, had the Islamic culture embedded into them. That's what they're around. That's their environment. So for some reason along the line, they had picked up the idea that children really don't need to know anything about the Holy Ghost or can even be baptized till they're 15 years old. The Catholics put that number on the age, 15, for some reason. So this child, he's got a story, like I said, but is the very first child ever in Burkina Faso and the United Pentecostal Church to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yes. Yes. Saidu. Yes. God is so good. God is so good. And because God used that child, now the doors are opening up for children's ministry. And the miracle in that is that we actually were having an all-service, a community service. And so the other pastors happened to be in that particular service. So they all got to sit there and watch him speak in other tongues. So it was just a marvelous experience. And we're so thankful for that. Now, these canvas prints, we are actually, for a donation of $250 or more, that would go towards the Bible school. It would go towards the Bible school. You all could, we have more out in the car, but these are for a donation of $250. You can have one. So that is what we're doing. That is why we're here. But we just want to thank you. Thank you in advance. This church is already sponsoring us. We're very thankful for your partnership, and we just are so thankful to be here. We're going to show you the DVD now, and it'll give you a better understanding and see firsthand some great things that God is doing in Burkina Faso. Thank you.
Burkina Faso and Niger, located in French West Africa, are experiencing an unprecedented move of the Holy Ghost. Burkina Faso and Niger are landlocked countries in the sub-Saharan continent of West Africa. With a population of 17 million, Burkina Faso is 50% Islamic, 40% animist, which is voodoo, and less than 10% Christian. Niger, just to the east of Burkina Faso, has a population of 16 million. They are 99% Islamic. Both countries are experiencing great growth. Both countries are pressing north into radical Islamic areas. Both countries are needing the great grace of God. There is no greater joy than to witness the spreading of the Word of God. Lives are being changed. Young men and women are being called into ministry. Radical conversions and healings are taking place. The book of Acts recorded daily conversion, and we are seeing just that in West Africa.
Welcome to West Africa. We are so excited for what God is doing in Burkina Faso and Niger.
It's Sunday morning. We're in the neighborhood of Yamtanga, Burkina Faso. Behind us is the church. They've started their worship service. As you can tell, they're full of faith. So come with us as we journey in the countries of Burkina Faso and Niger.
Come on!
From the north to the south of Burkina Faso and into Niger, we are seeing a measure of grace that we've only prayed about. Children are being baptized and are receiving the Holy Ghost. In Islamic countries where women and children are marginalized, this is unheard of. What God has done in 4 short years in Burkina Faso, other denominations have not been able to see in decades of working here. His great grace is working among us.
Coming and going, and they are doing their laundry, they're taking baths in the river. It's an amazing place. But one thing that is missing here is the Word of God. It's a 99% Muslim country, and people are truly searching for God. And although we are on the Niger River, it's exciting, and it's a lot of fun, but there is something that these people need, and that's truly
salvation.
As we travel and as we move around West Africa, we see many things that are exciting and fun to behold. But the reality of it is that there are 14 million people here that need Jesus Christ. And unless somebody goes and somebody speaks and somebody preaches and somebody gives the word, they will all be lost. And so just pray with us for the country of Niger, a land of beautiful people. I just need to know Jesus Christ. 17 million in Burkina Faso. 16 million in Niger. A majority of radical Muslim and animist beliefs. How will we release them? How can they effectively make the transition from deception to truth? God has sent us to these countries so that they may be reconciled back to Him.
Discipleship is the key to growing a strong, foundational, apostolic church.
And God is doing just that. Over this past term, we have graduated 30 students from the GATS program, and God has tripled our licensed pastors. God is doing a great, great, great thing here in Burkina Faso and in Niger. Behind us is the property for the Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center. In this center, we will teach, we will preach, we will equip, and we will win Burkina Faso in the name of Jesus Christ.
The Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center will be the epicenter for our training and discipleship. This 12,000 square foot campus will not only serve as a Bible school, but also as a facility to serve our community. First, the building will house a worship sanctuary that will seat approximately 500 members. Expansion is possible when needed. Three Bible school classes will serve in training our students with a GADS program.
A large library and language center will aid in student study and also to help the 87% population who cannot read. Literacy is a major concern in the church, as most of our members cannot read the Word of God. A preschool will be instituted as a service to our Awaga community. There will be three classrooms, a kitchen, and a large creative art room. God has given us the vision. God has given us the plan. Now it is time to build.
Every missionary knows that the key to reaching their nation and regions beyond is Bible school training. The Wendell Gleason Memorial Training Center is going to provide such a facility. Even though the price of it is $250,000, it is $250,000 that is an investment for the future. Generations to come will hear the apostolic truth, and the apostolic message will be perpetuated long after the Cantrell's ministry is fulfilled in Burkina Faso. Please consider joining with us to see this vision come to pass. A training center that will educate the next generation of apostolic leaders. On behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our missionaries Ken and Jenny Cantrell, I want to say thank you for considering this worthy vision and burden that they carry deep in their heart. May the Lord bless you as you prayerfully consider your part. God bless you.
Let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to pray for Burkina Faso. If we can leave the lights just right where they're at. I'm going to ask Bishop Grant if he can join us down here. Pastor Claude, if you can come, and the staff. I brought with us a map of Burkina Faso. And this map, I'm going to go up high so you can see it real quick. This map was carried. You're fine, Bishop, if you need to stay there. This map, we carried this map on our last deputation. We brought it. I'm going to let it go. We brought it back to Africa. Our pastors have prayed and interceded on this map, and we brought it back for you to pray on as well. I believe in taking spiritual authority over certain areas. I believe in taking authority over the powers that be. I'm going to ask that the leaders would come. If some of you would like to come forward and just get here on the platform, we're going to pray for this country, and we're just going to pray against the spirit of Islam. Come on, you're fine. Come on, we got room. We're going to pray against the spirit of Islam. We're going to bind the spirit of voodoo. We're going to loose the mercy and grace of God. Come on up. Come on up. This is the church. This is your church. Let's pray. Father, Lord, by the authority of the word of God, according to the power in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this country. We thank you, Lord, for your power, your grace, and your anointing. Father, by the authority of the word of God, according to the power in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the spirit of voodoo and of witchcraft and of the fetish worship, God, that has bound the great continent of Africa. We bind it in the name of Jesus, and we loose the mercy and the grace of God. Father, we pray against the spirit of Islam, and we loose your spirit in the mosque. Let the Holy Ghost fall on the mosque. Let the Muslim be converted. Let the Muslim be baptized in Jesus' name. Let the Muslim be the greatest preacher and pastor and evangelist, God, this world would ever see. Let there be an apostolic revival, God, that would fall on the continent of Africa. God, do a great work in the name of Jesus. 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 We bind it in the name of Jesus. And we loose apostolic anointing. And we loose apostolic power. We plead the blood of Jesus upon Burkina Faso and Niger. In the name of the Lord. 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 In the name of Jesus. We loose your blood. We loose your name. We invoke the name of Jesus. We invoke the blood of Jesus. We invoke the blood of Jesus. Cover it, Lord. Cover it, Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? Stay right where you're at. Don't move. With that same burden and with that same passion, let's pray for Madison, Wisconsin right now. There is a gift of faith moving. Father, we pray for Madison right now. We take authority over the spirits that tie this country and this city. We bind the spirit of alcoholism. We bind the spirit of suicide. We bind the spirit of drug addiction. We bind the spirit of pornography, God, and the things of this world. God, we plead the blood of Jesus upon Madison. We invoke the name of Jesus upon this city. We take spiritual authority over this city. God, this city will not be the same after this service. We loose your power. We loose your blood. We loose your mercy. We loose your grace. In the name of Jesus. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. If we can have the lights. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him again. God is doing something right now. I believe that something changed in Burkina Faso and Niger right now. Praise God. I believe there will be a witness, a testimony to what God has begun in this moment. Oh, hallelujah. We want our ushers to come. I want Brother Claude to come again. Please take a moment, one more time, to stand. We want to pray together for this offering. We're going to take up a special offering. You feel the burden. I want to encourage you. Bishop Grant has asked me to encourage you to commit to take on this couple. We know we're already supporting them. But if you want to commit to increase our support of them, you need to designate that in your offering. If you need a piece of note paper, if you have an offering envelope, use that to do so. If you want to give in the $250 to receive one of these prints, then you make the check out to Calvary Gospel Church and designate that it's for that purpose. And they'll see to it that you get the print, but make your check out to Calvary Gospel Church is the point there. But praise God. I believe that God is moving. I believe that there are people here today who will enter into a realm of giving that you haven't been in before, because God is going to use you for this purpose. Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Claude to lead us in prayer for this offering.
Hallelujah. Father, done so much, and we are so thankful, but we need you again to fast forward. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that from the corner of the east side of Burkina Faso to the west side of Burkina Faso, from the corner of the north side to the south side of Burkina Faso, the freedom of Jesus ring. The power of the word release and free people. right now, every penny that will be collected for this purpose, make it a million. And every finger that will be put into this work, Lord, I pray that it is blessed and that the blessing goes from the finger to all the brain. Let it touch every family that is represented here, and whosoever participates in this giving, let it be a deposit that will grow exponentially until these people come to you and get a safe place to live with you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to worship the Lord while we take up this offering. The ushers can go ahead. Worship the Lord, and Brother Cantrell will come in a moment when the offering is done and minister before we come and pray at this altar. In Jesus' name. Brother Cantrell.
Thank you in advance for your giving. We believe that the work of God cannot grow without pastors. That is why we're so passionate about education. From the children to the adult, discipleship is the only way. And you understand that. Discipleship is the only way that we will see our nation saved. Because we do not build our churches on the names of great bishops like Brother Grant or missionary Ken Cantrell. But we build churches on the name of Jesus Christ. And it's His living word that transforms and changes and does what needs to be done to get His purpose done. So we just want to thank you in advance for your giving. Again, if you would like one of these prints, I've got several of them left in the car. I can have them printed before we leave town on Tuesday if we don't have enough. But there's no greater investment than giving to the kingdom of God. And God always gives it back. In fact, my wife and I, this is off, I'm going to let them take the offering, but my wife and I, we were in a conference just a few weeks ago, and God spoke to me about giving $100 to a young girl who was the daughter of a home missions pastor. It was fall, and I knew that she probably needed some school clothes, but I didn't think that God knew that my car was broken down in the shop when He told me to give this. And so I went to my wife, and I said, "Babe, I said, God spoke to me. I need to give $100. And she's like, "Well, He told me the same thing." So we gave the $100 by faith. And in that same conference, my wife was praying in the altar, and she had her hand raised, and an old woman, the wife of an old prophet, came and stuck a $100 bill in my wife's hand and returned that $100. My car was still in the shop. I was in Mississippi. My car was in Bogalusa, Louisiana, and we had rented a car to come over to the conference. After that service, I was taking a nap, and I just could feel just the Holy Ghost. I could tell that God was doing something. It started with a $100 bill. And I was shaving, getting ready for that evening service. My wife came. She said, "Ken," she said, "there's a man downstairs that wants to see you." And my knees got weak because I knew God was up to something. God knew that my car was in the shop in Bogalusa. And this man, he came to me, he says, "God spoke to us during the service this morning, and He told us to give you our 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee." I do not believe that we give to receive. But I also know that when we give because of who He is, He always takes care of us. My wife said that I'd tell you about Saidu, if you could put his picture up. Saidu was born into a Muslim family, just our neighbor, just to the left of our home. His daddy was a guard there in that neighborhood, and Saidu was one of 16 children. It was the other one, of the little boy getting baptized. He was one of 16 children, and I don't know why it was, but Saidu was the neglected one. He was the one with the bloated belly. He was the one with rags for clothing. I think possibly it could have been where his mother fell in line in the family origin. There was something that tagged him as the one that couldn't go to school. And we'd find Saidu. He would get up before the sun would come up, and he would herd his daddy's cattle and sheep across the neighborhood. And as he would drive this cattle, he would go through the trash of the big houses looking for something to eat. I watched this boy and I thought, how desperate, how sad, how unjust is it for a young child like this to have to live this type of life? His name is Saidu. Saidu would come around the house, and we wanted to minister to this family, but daddy was a hardcore Islamic man. We knew that it was very difficult to get in and speak into this family. And so Jen and I began to pray and ask God, how are we going to reach into this family of 20-something people that lived in a holdout house right next to us? Well, we were upstairs on the roof of our house, and we heard a wailing, a crying coming through the neighborhood, only to find out that Saidu's father had been instantly killed in a motorcycle accident, leaving 4 wives and 16 children and no means of survival. We began to go in and minister. In fact, our church in Kansas City sent 6 boxes of toys, and those 16 kids received their first Christian holiday and toys for the first time in their life. Saidu started to come around the house quite a bit more, and they started to sell off the cattle, and they began to sell off the sheep, and they began to farm the kids out into the local villages with the family. Well, Saidu's mother remarried another Muslim man. And in that culture, the Muslim man never takes the children of another. And so she abandoned him, and she threw him out. And I watched Saidu, and I just really questioned, God, why would you allow a child to go through this much pain? He's the bottom on the list. Daddy's dead. Mom just threw him out in the streets. But he began to come to church with us, and he found Jesus Christ. We'd find Saidu in the presence of God, and it was a new thing for him to feel God's presence. But every once in a while, I'd be looking for Saidu as I'd preach. He'd walk 6 miles from his hut to our house to go to church with us on Sunday mornings. He'd get there at 6:30 in the morning. We didn't leave till 9, but he wanted to make sure that when the garage doors opened of our house, that he wouldn't miss the missionary. But there was a few times that I would be looking for Saidu in the crowd at whatever church we were preaching in, and I'd say, babe, I said, where's Saidu? And she said, I don't know. I said, go find him. And inevitably, he'd be crumpled over in the corner of the courtyard in the fetal position crying. And we didn't know really what was going on with him until the pastor finally let us in on what was happening, as this baby had a fear of hunger. And so every time he would feel those hunger pangs, he would begin to weep. And so we started to address that, and he continued to come to church with us, and we saw his little life starting to change. And I remember one Sunday, I was wore out, I was wrung out, I'd been done preaching, I was sitting on the edge of the platform, and Saidu was sitting right there on the front pew, and I noticed he was just really looking at me, and I said, Vian, come. He stood about right there, and like little African boys, he was a little intimidated. I said, no, s'il vous plaît, Saidu, vien de papa. And so I brought him real close to me, right here, as close as I could get him. And I said, Saidu, je t'aime. I love you. And these big tears begin to roll down this baby's eyes. As for the first time in his life, he felt the love of a father. And I don't really believe that it was the love of this father that he was feeling, but it was the love of a father that he was feeling. My wife shared, he received the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name. We saw Saidu's life begin to radically change. He had this smile, this inner joy that only comes. Remember when you got the Holy Ghost? There was this resident joy that no matter where he was at, it was teeth from ear to ear. He'd come to the house. He'd walk from his house to our house, and Jen would walk our dog, and he would do cartwheels, barefooted, barehanded, in the gravel in Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou. He got up to 10 cartwheels. He just kept going and going and going. But there was something inside of Saidu that was different. There was a power in him that was an overcoming power. There was something that was deposited in this baby's spirit that I knew that no matter what came in his life, he would overcome. The power of the Holy Ghost. Well, last summer, we were getting ready to come home for the birth of our first granddaughter. And Moni, which is his half-stepbrother, came to the house. It was on a Tuesday. And he said, Saidu has fallen from a tree. I said, he's fallen from a tree. He said, yeah. He said, but he's okay. He said, he's just a couple scratches. I said, well, we need to go see him. I said, when did you do it? He said, on Sunday night. I said, so 2 days ago he fell and he really hasn't been attended to? He said, yeah. And so the first thing Wednesday morning we got up, went to the hut where he was at. And when I walked into the courtyard, I could smell death. There was a stench that was not the stench of the field that I was talking to, but the stench of death. And I found Saidu on the ground over on a mat over on the side. He was totally dehydrated. He was covered in blood from head to toe and covered in flies. It was more than a scratch. He had broken his foot in three places. He had a compound fracture in his arm. In fact, the bones in his wrist had come through the skin. And the mother had no money to take him to the doctor, and she just took a rag and she tied it as tight as she could to stop him from bleeding to death, thus killing his hand. What I was smelling was the decomposition of this baby's left hand. Gangrene had already climbed up to his elbow in 2 short days. But that baby had laid like that for 2.5 days in shock. I scooped him up, threw him in the car. I said, babe, I called my wife. I said, babe, I said, it's bad. She goes, what do you mean it's bad? It was just a scratch. I said, no. I said, he's hurt. We carried him to the doctor. We started getting nursed, and there was nobody else there. An occasional visitor would stop by, but it's just Jen and I. Can I tell you something? This is who we are. How will you win your city one Saidu at a time? And the hardest decision I've ever had to make in my life is to have little man's arm amputated about right here. And we were there they'd rolled him out on a little makeshift cart, mattress outside. And when Saidu came out of that anesthesia, he took his right hand and he went over like this to find his left, and it wasn't there. And there was a scream that came from deep in his belly of terror of the reality of what had happened. We brought him to our house, and we doctored him there for about a week, actually a couple of weeks. But you know, within 3 days, that overcoming joy, that power of the Holy Ghost had begun to stir up in Saidu. And this baby with one arm and a broken leg, trying to get his balance, was smiling and laughing. I tell you this, I have to tell you a sad story, but I tell you this. When you got the power of the Holy Ghost, when you got that resident joy that is way down deep
You know, life can throw you some curveballs, but when you've got the power of Jesus Christ in your life, there is no devil in hell that can take you down, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Stand with me. I'm going to give you my closing remarks and my scripture at the same time. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand. This is Matthew 25:34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For when I was hungered, and you gave me meat, I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me, I was sick, and you visited me, I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger? And when did we take you in? Or naked? When did we give you clothes? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the Lord shall answer and say unto them, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Outside of these four walls, there are Saidus just like this boy. Outside of these four walls, there are young men and young women that are looking for the Father. Outside of these four walls, there is the hurting and the bruised. You don't have to go to Africa to serve in the field, because the field is ripe for harvest. And that field is Madison, Wisconsin. One photo behind the scripture. We can get the scripture off there. The man on the left is a Muslim man. He's blind. The man on my right is a Muslim man. When I went to shake his hand, I did not know he was a leper. I took his hand and there was nothing but a nub. And there was something inside of me that wanted to draw back. But love would not let me. This morning I'm calling on this church. I'm calling those that are willing to go out into the field and not draw back, but hang on until they go down in the waters of baptism. I want to open these altars up. If you can say, God, you have permission to move in my life, here I am, Lord. I'm calling this entire church into a place of commitment, of compassion, of loving this city. Would you come? We're going to come and we're going to pray. We're done. But let's just end this service out of just giving ourselves all over again to this city. Let's give ourselves to the lost.
Lost are saved, find their way at the sound.
Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we want to encourage you to come down on this side of the altar. You can be set free today. You can have your sins washed away. The presence of God that you feel here, He wants to pour that out upon you and fill you up on the inside. Come and pray. Come and let God touch your life. Praise God. Someone here is feeling God call them to the field.